Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Nun Dalid. We left off on the very bottom of the daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, and we're actually going to backtrack a little bit because we sort of rushed through the end yesterday, but we're going to continue to discuss ways that a person can do a kinyan chazaka, how a person can be kona b'nichsei hager in ways that are not the typical na'al gadar uparatz, but other ways that a person shows a kinyan chazaka. And then the Gemara is going to have several different ways, four or so different ways that that a person is able to do some sort of action on the karka in order to be kona, but it's not always going to work. It depends what his kavana is, what the purpose is in doing that action, and sometimes you can tell from the action what exactly his purpose is based on the precise way that he does that action. So we're going to have several examples of something that might be a kinyan chazaka, depending what the person's focus is, what his purpose is in doing that action. The Gemara is going to bring a maisa that emphasizes that you need to do the chazaka in the proper way, and then the Gemara is going to quote other examples of chazaka. And then in Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to move on to a discussion. A kinyan that a guy makes is only with kesef, when the kona gives money, so then the ownership changes hands on the object. So the Gemara is going to discuss what's the din when a nachri sells karka to a Jew, and then the kona gives money, and after the kona gives the money, someone else is machzik in it. So what's the halacha then? So because by a guy, the kesef is kona dvar Torah. So that's going to be the discussion. So let's begin on the bottom of Nun Gimel and Beis, where we're going to backtrack a little bit, like I mentioned. That Amar of Amram, we're going to go back to Amar of Amram, says the Gemara about six lines before the lines get wide. Amr Rav Amram, Hay Milsa, Amr Lan Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes told us the following thing: Va'anrinu Einin Mimas Nisa, and he enlightened our eyes. He lightened up our eyes based on a brisa. That's an ironic statement when talking about Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes was blind, so we can say about Rav Sheshes that he enlightened our eyes because even though he was physically blind, he was able to enlighten us in Divrei Torah. So he explained based on a brisa. What did he tell us? That a metzia matzaos b'nichsei ager, if a person spreads out mattresses or cloth in property that belonged to a ger, and he lies them down on the karka, kona, he's kona those nechasim, even though he's not really doing a tikkun on the karka, he's not doing na'al gadur paratz, nevertheless, he's being nene from the Nichsei Ager, so the fact that the Nechasim are being Meshameshim, that alone can make it a Chazaka. The source of the idea of Chazaka, the Gemara in Kiddushin Dav Chavav, derives from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where the pasuk says, "Vishavu ba'arecha masher tafastem." So, b'mat tafastem b'yeshiva. That's the drush that the Gemara has in Kiddushin Chavav. That what does it mean, asher tafastem? How did you acquire ownership of the land? B'yeshiva, by living in it. So we learn from v'yirashtem osa v'yishavtem osa b'may yirashtem b'yeshiva. So shchiva on karka is included in yeshiva. That's how the Rashbam explains why lying down on the karka, or putting down mattresses on the karka and lying on them, is considered to be a kinyan chazaka, because that's the very source of kinyan chazaka, is yeshiva bekarka. So lying on the karka would certainly qualify as yeshiva bekarka. So the Rav Amram explains now, vanarinu einin mimasnisa, and Rav Sheshes was meyareinenu from a brisa, maihi, what brisa proves that this is true, that if you spread out the cloth on the nitzei ager and you lie down on it, that that's considered to be a chazaka. Titania, we have a brisa as follows. Ketzad b'chazaka, how is one kona in Evet Knani using chazaka? So the Gemara explains, na lo menalo, if the Eved puts on your shoe for you, o hiter lo menalo, or he removes your shoe for you, o shahaluch kelev achrav lebeis amerchatz, or he carries your clothing to the bathhouse, viv shito, or he removes your clothing in the bathhouse, vir chitzo, or if he bathes you in the bathhouse, sacho, or he anoints you with oil in the bathhouse, gerdo, or he's gored, which there was some sort of scraper that they would use to scrape a person clean, like a brush to brush a person clean, he does that for you. V'hilbisho, or if he dresses you. V'inilo, or he puts on your shoes for you. V'higbio, or there is a hagba, he lifts you up. Kano, you have been kona him, because all of these things are things that qualify as a chazaka that the adon does for the eved. So over here as well, any use you have of the karka, just like by being kona an eved, any use you have of the eved, so over here also, any use you have of the karka will count as a chazaka. It is interesting that we mention one item twice on this list. We said hinilo mena'alo, and then we said what was the lashon? Na'alo mena'alo, and then we said hinilo later on the list. So some of the Rishonim, the Rashbam explains, yeah, in Achinami, we mentioned it twice on the list, it just fits into both parts, because once we mention Hilbisho, we mention Hinilo as well. The Adrama, however, says, no, before we were talking about that he tied the straps of his shoe. Over here it's talking about, the second time, it's talking about not tying the straps of the shoe, but actually putting on the shoe. And that's the difference between the two times that it says Hinilo Minalo, of putting on the person's shoe. In the Sefer, in the Tshuvas Chaim Sha'al, in the Chelek Aleph, he writes, L'chora, we can be poshet from here, the suffix of the Shar Ephraim. This suffix of the Shar Ephraim is quoted in Shar Mitzvah Ba'alacha, like every time shoes come up in Shas, where the Shar Ephraim raises the following suffix. If someone is Mischayiv L'chavero L'halbisho, you accept upon yourself the responsibility to provide clothing for somebody, are you mechuyev to buy him shoes as well? Meaning, is that included in the deal when you say you're going to clothe somebody? From Lashon of the Brisa, it says, Hilbisho, vihin ilo, sounds like hin ilo is not included in Hilbisho. That to be malbish a person means clothing, and then separate from that is shoes. But it could just be that the Brisa is coming to be mechadesh, that hin ilo alone works, that if you put on his shoes alone, even without being malbishim, it's still going to work. But based on what the Rashbam writes, that the Brisa mentions hin ilo only once it mentions Hilbisho, but the Iker Din is that Ni'ilos Minalim Miskona, we already know that from the earlier part of the Brisa, so then you still have a Raya, meaning, because why would it have to, why would it repeat it? Oh, Agav Hilbisho, we repeated it, the Rashbam says. What do you mean, Agav Hilbisho, we repeated it? It's included in Hilbisho. No, so it must not be included in Hilbisho, that Hinilo is a separate act. The post can use this as a point of discussion, not only in terms of such an unusual case where a person has accepted Dafka, that responsibility of Hilbisho, and not Hinilo, whether he has to be give him shoes, but also in terms of, we know that there's a halacha that one has to be mechabed Shabbos with proper big day Shabbos. A person is supposed to have separate begadim on Shabbos that he has during the week. So is a shoe considered a beged? Does a person is a person required to have Shabbos shoes? Is that or is it unnecessary to have Shabbos shoes? You only need to have Shabbos clothing. So it's that same suffix. Do we consider shoes to be part of the clothing, or do we consider the shoes to be something separate from the clothing? But anyway, the Brisa continues. Am Rabbi Shimon lo tei chazaka gedola me hagba shagba kona b'kol makom, that the chazaka that one is kona and eved with should be no greater than hagba. Hagba is the strongest form of kinyan. And therefore, the Eved is definitely Nikna Bagba against the Tanakama. Well, my Kamar, what did the Tanakama say? The Tanakama said, Higbio Kano. What did he mean exactly? Who's lifting who? And why does Rabbi Shimon have a problem with that when he says that Agba is the strongest form of Kenyan? The Tanakama also said Agba works. So what exactly are they arguing about? So it says, Marahachi Kamar. No, here's what the Tanakama meant. Higbio Lerabo, if the Eved lifts up the master, for example, the master needed to get to a high place, he needed to climb up on his bed, and he couldn't do it on his own. So the Eved lifts him up and puts him on his bed. Kina'o. That Agba, that the Eved lifted the master, is enough for the master to be Kona, the Eved. Higbio Rabba lo, but if the master lifts up the Eved, the Tanakama would say, lo kina'o. He has not been Kona it, because that's not the way you're Kona an Eved. That an Eved is not Nikna Bahagba in the conventional sense by lifting him up. You have to do a Chazaka. So I'm Rabbi Shimon, lo te Chazaka gedola. No, Chazak is no stronger than Agbah. Shagbah kona b'kol makom. Agbah works everywhere, even in the Rishus of the Mocher. Meshicha, Mesira, Az kona Mishicha Bereshus HaRabim, as opposed to Mishicha Mesira, and Hagbah is Kona Bereshus HaRabim and Besimta, so it's Kona, the Eved as well. Hagbah is the strongest form of Kinyan, it's the broadest form of Kinyan, it works everywhere, so it should work for the Eved as well. That's the Machlokas between the Tanakama and the Rabbi Shimon. The Rosh Hashanah explains the reason the Tanakama holds you're not Kona when the master picks up the Eved, it's because it's not the Derech to be Magbia Avadim. Tosrid raises the question that even an elephant could be Nikna Bagbah. It's a Sugyan Kiddushin, Daf Chavav, the Gemara discusses how exactly does one lift an elephant. So it says Chavile Zemoros, you use Chavile Zemoros to lift the elephant. Machlok Rishonim, what that means exactly, how does one employ Chavile Zemoros to lift an elephant? Either that you put him down on the ground so that he can step up on them, and once he's on top of them, you have lifted him up off the ground, or you wave them in front of the elephant because it's elephant food and he jumps at the Chavilei Zmoros, and that's Agbah. But it's certainly not the Derech to be Magbia an elephant. So if it's not the Derech to be Magbia an elephant, why does it work by Agbah? According to Rabbi Shimon, it's not the Derech to be Magbia an Eved, so maybe that's not going to work by Agbah. That's the Kasha of the Tosrid. The Meiri in Kiddushin Rav Chav Gimel says, like the Rashbam, and he says that there's a difference between that which is not the derech to be magbia because it's too heavy, and that which is not the derech to be magbia because it's just not the derech at all. It's undignified. It's not the way you treat a human being. It's just not a normal thing to do. So when it comes to the elephant, the only reason it's not the derech is because it's too heavy. So if you come up with a shtick, with a way that it's not too heavy, then that would be a valid kinyan agbah. Otherwise, it would not be a valid kinyan agbah. Now, in all these examples, these are examples of a public form of avdus that the eved is doing for a master. The halacha is that kolma that an eved is chayiv to do for a master, a talmud is chayiv lasos l'rabbo as well. A talmud has to do for his master, for his rebbe as well. But when it comes to something that's public, where it's going to be a chashash that he's going to look like an eved, so we try to avoid things like that, not to do something that will make him look like an eved. But you have a few places in Shas where someone says, Rabbi Yochanan makes a comment that if someone can explain this to me, then I'll be molech kelev achar of lebeis amerchatz. I'll schlep his clothing for him to the beis amerchatz. Why would he do that? Because then it would be my rebbe, and therefore I would act as a Talmud. The Gemara says that the way to tell the difference when someone's an Eved or someone's a Talmud is if he's wearing tefillin. That if he's wearing tefillin, then you know he's not an Eved. But if he's not wearing tefillin and he's doing one of these menial tasks, then there's a good chance that he's an Eved. Which is interesting that tefillin would be the way to tell the difference. Tefillin is a mitzvah shazman grama, so nashmar peturos, mela vadamar peturos as well. But most mitzvah shazman grama, a person wants to volunteer them, so there are a lot of volunteer them. Mitzvah Seishazman Grama. Women volunteer Mitzvah Seishazman Grama all the time. So the question is that something an Eved would do as well? Is there an Inyan for an Eved to volunteer a Mitzvah Seishazman Grama, or is that only something for women? Because when we discuss the Bracha on a Mitzvah Seishazman Grama, it seems fairly obvious that an Eved would not recite the Bracha on a Mitzvah Seishazman Grama. It's Machlok Rishonim whether a woman does. Rambam says no. The Balei Atos say yes. Ashkenazi women do recite a Bracha on Sukkah and Lulav and Shofar. Right, they do recite a bracha on the mitzvah shazman grama, but the Bali Tos explains it's because it's okay for them to say asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu because they have kiddushas Yisrael. So collectively, it's true that kiddushanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. An eved is chayiv in mitzvos ki'isha, but he's not, he doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael, so he certainly wouldn't say the bracha, but would he volunteer the mitzvah? So why not? Why wouldn't he volunteer the mitzvah? Meaning, if an Isha can volunteer the mitzvah, and the Eved at the same level of Chiyuv mitzvahs, Pashto says he would be able to volunteer the mitzvah. Why don't women volunteer the mitzvah of tefillin? So that's because they don't have a guf naki. It's impossible for a woman to keep a guf naki. That's biological to being a woman. L'chora, that shouldn't apply to an Eved. And yet the Gemara still assumes that the tefillin is going to be the line that marks an Eved from a regular person. So that's Stam, just an interesting point. But relating to this idea that the Eved does these menial tasks for his master, and the same way, it's Talmud is supposed to do for his Rebbe as well. That's what they're medayik from the Gemara in Baba Kama and Chafam Beis. The Gemara is a conversation between two people by Zenen of Zelo Chaser. So one of the Amoraim says, what's the halacha by Zenen of Zelo Chaser? The other one says, well, first you need to take off my turban, l'chita shameshli. You have to provide some act of service to me, and then I'll explain it to you. And he takes off his turban and he folds it for him, and then he explains it to him. He gives him a raya from a Mishnah. So very, very strange conversation. L'chita shameshli, when he's Talmud asks for something, oh, go get me a coffee and then we'll talk. Well, why can't you just explain to him exactly what he asked? So that's what the Achronim understand, is that he wanted to create a relationship of a Rebbe Talmud. And he said, if you're going to acknowledge me as a Rebbe, that means you're going to serve me as a Rebbe. And it's important for the Talmud to have sort of that reverence of a relationship to a Rebbe, and not to just view the Rebbe as an equal. Rav Shimon Shkop explains in his Hakdama that when a Talmud views a Rebbe as an equal, so he judges everything the Rebbe says based on whether he thinks immediately it makes sense or not. If immediately it makes sense to him, so good. If not, then if it doesn't immediately make sense to him, then he'll absolutely reject it. But when you're learning Torah from a Rebbe, Rabbi L'mal Hashem Tzavakos, you have to be tola the chisaron in yourself, or at least be nota that way. You could ask questions, and it could be the Rebbe's human and he makes mistakes, but for the most part, you have to try really hard to understand it first. So that sense of reverence helps in that proper attitude toward Talmud Torah. But anyway, continuing in the Gemara over here, the Gemara discusses another din relating to Chazaka b'Nechsei Ager. Amar Rabbi Yirmi Bira, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Hayman to shada lift a bay pili. If a person throws a turnip seed into the cracks in the ground of Nichse Ager, but he's not the one that dug the cracks in the ground, and he doesn't even cover up the cracks in the ground with dirt, then lo avi chazaka. That is not a chazaka through which he is kona those nechasim, because he hasn't really done any significant tikkun in the karka. Why does it Dafka mention lefes? So the Rishonim point out that lefes grows very, very quickly. So since it grows quickly, the hana'a is almost immediate. It's not exactly immediate because it still has to grow, but it's pretty soon coming. And it could also grow without covering it with dirt. So even that is not a chazaka. Even putting lefes in the ground, which is going to grow very soon, and you're not going to have to do anything else to make it grow, even that's not a chazaka. My taima, why is it that planting lefes is not a chazaka? Once it starts taking root in the ground, haven't you been mashbiach the karka? No, be'idna d'shada lo avishvacha. At the time that you planted the lefes, the karka was not yet improved. Once it takes root and it starts growing, then the karka is improved, but that's at a later time. So melu kashavach, and that happens all on its own. That's not something that you are doing a maisa at that moment. That happens later on. The time delay makes it that it's not your maisa. It's almost similar to the way many of the poskim understand grama, that you do something, yeah, even though you know it's going to happen, but it's on a time delay. The time delay makes it that it's not considered your maisa. So now the Gemara is going to bring many ways through which a chazaka can be done depending on what your intention was in doing this particular action. Amar Shmuel, Hayman de Pasha Dikla, someone who's cutting off branches of a dekel tree in order to make a chazaka on the karka. So how do we know? Adaita de Dikla, if he's doing it in order to be mashbiach the tree, that when it has too many branches, the branches can't grow in properly, they get in the way of each other, so then kani, then he's kona the karka through that action. But adaita dechevasa, but if he's doing it just because he wants something to feed to his animals, so he's pulling off some branches so he could feed those branches to his animals, but it's not to be mashbiach the karka, so then lo kani, you're not going to be kona the dekel, because you're not doing it to be mashbiach the dekel in any way. Say echidami, how do we know what his kavana is? Is there some way you can tell by looking at what he's doing to figure out what his kavana is? So shakal mehai gisa umehai gisa, if he takes branches from this side of the tree, from that side of the tree, then adaita de dikla. Then you can know that he's doing it to be mashbiach the dekel, and that kinyan works. Even though it's possible, the Rishonim point out, it's possible that when he's pulling from this side and he's pulling from that side, he's also trying to feed his behema, but mistama, most of the time, when you see people pruning a dekel tree, their kavana is to improve the tree and to be kona. So whenever there's room for a suffix of what his kavana is, we assume he's doing a maisa kinyan. kinyan. That's how the Rashbam explains. It's just that if he's pulling from one side only, then it's clear, it's obvious that he's not doing a maisa kinyan, that he's just trying to pull branches so that he has what to feed to his animals. The Yad Ramah writes that even if he's going to use the branches for his behema, but he's making a chazak in the karka, you're not going to say that he's not allowed to now use those branches to feed his behema. You don't say, oh, if he fed his behema with those branches, then that must have been his entire kavana. No, his kavana might have been to improve the dekel tree, but what's he going to do with the branches? He's got these branches, might as well maximize their usage and give them to his behema as well. But if he pulls all the branches off of one side of the dekel tree, then adaita the chevasa. Then we know that his das is only for the tzoruch of his animals, because he's destroying the dekel tree in such a way. So that's certainly not going to be kona of the karka. The Ritva writes, yeah, that's if he pulls off all of the branches on one side of the tree. But if he pulls off some of the branches on one side of the tree, it could be that he's trying to be misaking the dekel, he just didn't finish the job yet. He only did it on one side, meaning if he did a decent job on one side of the tree, so it was the point is that if what he did was destructive to the tree, that's when it's not a kinyan. But if what he did was actually good for the tree, was actually productive for the tree, then it will be a kinyan, even though he maybe didn't finish the job and didn't do the best job possible in being the most productive for the tree. It says the Gemara, and another way to make a chazaka depending on what his intention was. Vamar Shmuel, Haiman Zaki Zikaya, someone who's cleaning out a field from any from weeds and the like. Sadai Tadara, if he's doing it to make the land more ripe for plowing, then Kani, he's Kona the Karka with such a kinyan. Adai Tatsivi, but if he's just trying to pull up these weeds and he's pulling out these splinters of wood and whatever he could find there in order to have firewood, then Lo Kani, then he's not going to be kona by removing those branches from the karka. Well, hey chidami, how in the world would you know what the guy's intention is? Well, shakal rav ruvi vizutri, if he takes the large pieces and the small pieces, adai tadara, then you know he's doing a good job cleaning it up. Clearly, he's doing it for the sake of the land. But shakal rav ruvi vishavak zutri, if he takes the large pieces and he leaves the small pieces behind, adai tadatsivi, then he's obviously looking for firewood, and therefore he's not being mashpiach the karka in any way, so he's not going to be kona at all. If you look at Tosos and the adai tadatsivi lo kani viafal pisha misakin hakarka, even though it may be helping, you know, cleaning up the karka first involves picking up all the big pieces, then it involves taking all the small pieces. So the guy took the big pieces, that's not bad for the karka, that's good for it. It's half a job. He did part of the job that you need to do. So even though it's misakin a karka, v'chein pashach tikla, adaita d'chiyusa, avvisha dekel miskun b'kach, d'liolim lo kanyal kin miskavein liknos. Even though practically at the end of the day, even by the dekel tree, you might have done something that's beneficial to the tree, but you have to make it clear that you're having kavana to be konek. D'amrinila liknos is chavirta afosolo kana kivishol niskavein. Very similar to what we said previously, when you had two pieces of karka next to each other, and there was a shvil b'neihem, and you did a kinyan on one karka, having in mind that it should work for the other karka, then you're not even kona the karka you did the kinyan on. Why not? You did a maisa kinyan, says Tosos. Yes, a maisa kinyan you did, but das kona, that you didn't have, and you need das in order to be kona. So that's the ha'ara of Tosos. Tosos points out, okay, we'll leave it there. So says the Gemara further, Vamar Shmuel, Hayman de'itkal tikla, a person who takes different stumbling blocks from the ground in order to smooth out the karka, so that there won't be places that are like higher and lower in the karka, and it will be easier to plow the ground. So adaita da'ara, if he's doing it to make the karka nicer and easier to plow, kani, good, then he's kona the karka. Adaita de'bedari, but if he's doing it in order to make a goren in that karka, but not to actually improve the karka itself, he wants to make a threshing floor or something like that in that karka, lo kani, then he's not going to be kona, because that karka was originally omid l'charisha, it was meant to be plowed, so even after you make the threshing floor, you're still going to need to clear it out in order to do a Harisha. Now this is a little bit of different than all the other cases that we gave so far, because over here the other side is not to ignore the Karka and just do something else entirely. To make a Goren is to make a Goren in the Karka, and that's why the Rishonim point out that if the Rashbam points out over here that if you want to make a Goren Kavua, meaning this is your real estate, you get to choose what you're going to do with it. So if you don't want to plow and plant or whatever, you want to make a Goren Kavua, say in the Chazaka Gdol Mizu, that's absolutely a great Chazaka, that you're changing the actual Shimush of the Karka. So that's certainly going to be considered a real kinyan. The problem is, Tosos in the next Tosos, Dibra Maskul Mulya, raises the question, how do you know whether his kavana is to leave the Goren there in a kavua way or not? Meaning, if you can say, he's going to use it temporarily as a Goren, it's not a chazaka. But if he's going to make a Goren kavua, then that is a chazaka. And furthermore, Tosos asks, the idea that the Rosh Bam says that Beit Dari means a Goren, and the Gemara is going to say that a karka is worth more for Harisha than it is for a Goren, but Pimitzius, the karka needs to be smoother for the Goren than it needs to be for the Harisha. So he says the Mitzius doesn't seem to align with the Rashbam's understanding. So Tosa has an entirely different understanding. Tosa says that Beit Dari means a place to put animals, for animals to just hang out and to stay. So you don't need the karka to be so smooth. You don't want animals falling in a bar. You don't want animals tripping over things, but it doesn't need to be perfectly smooth in order to allow animals to stay there. So that would fit very nicely with the Gemara we're going to have in a couple of days, that it's not a valid kinyan chazaka to just dump a bunch of animals in a property. So that's why, if that's your das, that's not going to be a kinyan. The Ritva quotes from Tosus that Hamadas Behemos is not considered a chashuv shimush of the karka, and that's why you're not kona. Tosus quotes from Ibn Hatam, since that the way that they would be that he would be dash al yedei morigin, using a certain type of heavy kli eitz, so you don't need the karka to be all that smooth. But the bottom line is, we have machlokas between the Rashbam and Tosos what a Beit Dari means, and why it is that a dait to the Beit Dari is not kona. Rashbam says to make a goren, but if it were to be a goren kavua, then it would be a kinyan. Tosos says you have no way to tell whether it's going to be a goren kavua or not, and a goren l'chara should be a kinyan, so Beit Dari must mean something else. It says, hechidami, how do you know what the guy's intention is? Well, shakal mulya v'shada b'natza, if he takes a piece of dirt from a mound, from a tall mound, and he throws it into the chafira in the ground, he throws it into a hole in the ground, and that is how he evens out the karka, then adaita da'ara. Then obviously he's trying to smooth out the ground. He's maximizing what he's got. It's like the Gemara and Megillah with Haman and Achashverosh. One of them had a mound, and the other one had a dirt, had the dirt. So they said, I wish I had someone to fill my hole in the ground. The other one said, I wish I had somewhere to dump my dirt. Yeah, that's a perfect match. So if you see that the guy is doing, that's what the Gemara says, Haman Achashverosh, both wanted to kill the Jewish people. They were just a perfect match for each other. So here as well, this is a perfect match if he has some mounds and some ditches. So he takes the mounds and he fills the ditches with those mounds. That's clearly the best thing to do for the ground. But mulya b'mulya, if only in the place where it's, if in places where the karka is higher, he just makes it wider and broader by slightly lowering the height of the mounds, then vinatza benatza, and the place where the karka is lower, he just makes the area around it a little bit lower as well to even out just that area, but he doesn't even out the entire karka, then adaita debei dari. Then obviously he wants to make a goren in those places because he's just trying to even out the immediate vicinity. But if he was really planning on plowing, so for plowing you need the entire field to be even, and that's what he would be focusing on. Then another way, if a person opens up water into the land, so it depends. Adaita da'ara kani. If he's doing it al das to improve the land, good. So then he's kona. He's developing irrigation into this land. But adaita dekavri, if he's doing it just to be able to trap some fish, then lo kani. Then he's not kona the karka. Well, hechidami, how can you tell what his intention is? So pasuk trei bavi chad ma'ayil v'chad ma'pek. If he opens two entranceways into the karka, one on one side, one on the other, one for the water to come in, and the other one for the water to come out, then adaita dekavri. Then certainly he's trying to just catch some fish, and he's not kona the karka, because the water's not staying in the land, the water's flowing through, and hopefully some fish will be left. It's like when Hurricane Sandy happened, and everything, oh, the water overflowed, and then went back, and what was left? A bunch of fish on the street were left. So that's the effect he's trying for when he makes two holes. But Chad Bava, but if he only opens up one Pesach for the water to come in, but then the water has to sit in the karka instead of passing through, then Adaita Da'ara. Then clearly he's trying to be Mashbiach the karka by saturating the field and having the water sit in the field. That is that's the pashtus of the Gemara. That's how the Rashbam explains the Gemara. Others say exactly the opposite, but let's keep it that way. Hayitz Adach L'Dikla B'Tafshicha Tleisa Shnin. There was a woman that used a dekel wood of a ger that died in a way that she picked the branches only on one side in order to feed it to her animals, and she did so for 13 years. She was picking the branches off of this tree. Asahu rafik tu seporta. Someone else comes, and in an instant, he just digs a little bit under the tree to strengthen the roots of the tree. Asal kameh de Levi. So the person comes to Levi. V'armila kameh de Marukva. And some say he comes to Marukva, and he says, "I was just koneh the nifse ager. No one's been koneh in all these years." Ukme biyade, and he gave it to him. He said, "Yeah, einochinami. You were the first person to be koneh." Asayu katzavcha kameh. So the woman came that was using this tree for 13 years, and she started screaming, "What are you talking about? 13 years I've been using this tree. How do you say I don't have a chazaka?" What do you want me to do? You didn't do a chazaka in the normal way that a person is supposed to do a chazaka. Eating the peros ha'ilan is apparently not a chazaka to be kona, because you weren't doing something to improve the tree. The Adrama quotes from Rav Haigon, yeah, b'nichse ager, it's not kona when you're ochel the peros. You're only kona with hashvachas hakarka. But b'nichse chavero, if you're kona something from somebody else, then achilas peros would work as a kinyan as well. Meaning, if you have a das makne who tells you lechazeku kni, or you're a sukkim bosu inyan, and you take the peros in front of your friend, that's nicker that you're doing it for the kinyan, and that would work. That's what the Adrama quotes from Rav Haigon. However, the Adrama himself disagrees, because the Mishnah in Daf Membeis says that if someone is Nosin Matana or Achim Shechilku together in Nichse Ager, or you're taking Nichse Ager, then you're Kona with a Chazaka. So it sounds like they're all the same. That regardless of whether someone's giving it as Matana or whether you're just dividing up Nichse Ager, it's always going to be the same type of Chazaka. So that is a Machlokas Rishonim. Are there different Kedarim of what counts as a Chazaka when you have a Das Sacheres Makna versus when you're just doing a chazaka b'nichse ager from Hefker on your own? Now the Gemara is going to bring another type of chazaka. Amar Rav, Hatzar Tzura b'nichse ager. If someone makes a nice painting, a nice picture in the nichse ager, he makes a picture of a chay or an oaf, the Rashbam says, in nichse ager, which some of the Achronim use as a raya, that one is allowed to draw a picture of a chay of a oaf, a two-dimensional image of a chay of a oaf. So someone makes such a tzura in nichse ager, so kone, he's kone the nechassim. That's considered a material improvement of the property, and it doesn't have to be an ama kenegra pesach like we had yesterday. If you put seed on it or something like that, because over there we were just talking about tsuros, but tsuros balei chayim are much more chashva type of tsura. This is what Rashbam explains. This is different than what we learned yesterday, where you make some sort of artwork dafka kenegra pesach, dafka nama by nama. Only then it's considered chashuv, because that was simple artwork. This is fancy artwork. Fancy artwork could be even smaller. Doesn't have to be dafka kenegra pesach. So if you do that, you're kona the nechassim. So the Gemara explains that Rav really never said this beferish. The Rav lo kani leginsa de bei Rav. Rav was not kona the gina that was close to the base medrash, that he was elabitzurasa. He was only kona it by making a tzura. Meaning Rav was kona the garden that was near the Beis Medrash, dafka by making a tzura. That's another thing that the Achronim pick on in this Gemara. A garden right next to the Beis Medrash? Are you allowed to have a garden in a shul, near a shul? We're not supposed to plant trees. The Torah says you can't plant a tree by the Mizbeach, so you don't plant a tree in a shul. That the Poskim quote, that you don't bring. What about gardens? What about other plants? There's a discussion on Shavuos. Can you have things that grow inside of a shul? Is it maybe an issue of Chukas Akum because they celebrate their holidays with trees. Okay, but that's what they bring the raya from Rav. He had a garden next to the Beis Medrash. Probably it wasn't in the Beis Medrash. So the Gemara had mentioned by Nichse Ager Shemes that if Rafik Tute Porta, we said before, that's a valid chazaka by digging a little bit under it. So Itmar, so we learned as follows: Sada Hamasuya Mespimit Soreha. If you have a sada that belonged to a ger who has died, that is clearly marked off by its borders. There are shvilim all around it, and you know exactly what the borders of the field are. Once you dig a little bit, a single chafira, into the ground of that property, kanakula, you will now acquire the entire field because it's so clearly marked what the borders are. Shmuel says, no, even though there are clear borders on the field, if you only dig a little bit in the ground, you're only kona that tiny little area where you actually dug. But if it's a field that's not clearly marked off with its borders, it's open to other fields that are neighboring it. Ad kama, how much do you have to dig in order to acquire that entire field? Obviously, we're asking within Rav, according to Shmuel. You're gonna have to dig every spot apparently. So Rav Papa, k'da azel tayara deshure. When you go and you plow with a pair of oxen, one row in the field from one edge to the other edge of the field, meaning from, let's say, the east to the west of the field, one entire walk that the oxen take pulling a plow, that works. It doesn't have to, they don't have to keep going back and forth and cover the entire field, but they go once vahadar, and then they go back to plow it from if they went from east to west the first time, from west to east, so it's two rows in the entire field. That's good enough. That's how you kona the entire field, because once you're choresh, you're machzik in the field, mirosh v'yatzofa, from one end to the other end, it's considered as if you plowed the entire field. Let's go back there. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel. Nichsei Ovid Kuchavim. If you have the nechasim of a guy that he sold them to a Jew, and the guy received money for the karka, but the Jew has not yet made a kinyan chazaka in that karka, even though he has received the guy has received money, and normally by guyim that's all it takes in order for the kinyan to work. So nichsei Ovid Kuchavim Harei Hein Kemidbar. They are considered to be like hefker and kalamach. And any other Jew who wants to go and make a kinyan in that karka, zachben, because he can go and he can make a kinyan. My time, why? Because the second the guy has the money in his hands, he relinquishes his ownership of that karka. But Yisrael lo kani adamati shtar liyade. A Jew only makes a kinyan until he has a kesef shtar chazaka, until he has the shtar comes into his hands. So since he doesn't have the shtar yet, he has not yet been konef. That's a place where they're ragil to write a shtar, meaning the Yisrael won't be kona before the shtar is actually written in a place where they're ragil to write a shtar. Hilka charein kamidbar. So therefore, where does that leave these nechasim? It leaves them as no man's land. It leaves them like a midbar, as total hefker. V'kala machzik ben zochaben, and anyone who's machzik in them at that time is zocha in that karka. The Tosus points out in Dibra Maskal Ovid Chavim that Av Bialma Omer Rabbeinu Tam Da'ad Rabbe Ein Kinyan Shlovid Chavim BeKesef Ela BeMashicha. That typically speaking, a kinyan of an Ovid Chavim is dafka made with Mashicha and not with Kesef. When we're talking about Metaltan, because Rabbi Yochanan Kaimlan Darsh Miyala Misecha BeKesef Hamiyal Ovid Chavim BeMashicha. That by an Ovid Chavim it's dafka got to be Mashicha. Over here, when we say, it says Tosus in the second wide line, V'adukamar Hacha V'Ovid Chavim Yichimatu Zuzel Yad. So that's because we learn kesef from Ephron, from the buying of the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. But certainly shtar is not going to work for an Ovid Chavim. Even for a Jew, we only learn that it works from the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. So Yosef. Miyomer Shmuel Hachi, does Shmuel really say that anyone could just be machzik in the karka? Vamer Shmuel Dina de Malchusa Dina. Didn't Shmuel tell us Dina de Malchusa Dina? Umalka Amar Lalikniara Elabi Igarta. And the rule of the land, the law of the land, is that the king says that you need a star in order to be kona karka. Amalei Anole Yadana. I don't know how to answer the stira in Shmuel, but Uvda Hava, there was a story, Bidura Dira Avasa, in a place called Dura Dira Avasa, the Yisrael de Zavanara, the Meovik Chavim, that a Jew bought with Kesef land from Meovik Chavim, Vasi Yisrael Achrina Rav Baporta, another Jew came along and dug a little in the land, Asal Kabed Rav Yuda, Ukma Biyad de Sheni, and they came to Rav Yuda, and Rav Yuda let the second guy keep it. Amalei Dura Dira Avasa Kamrit, you're bringing me a Maisa from Dura Dira Avasa, Hasam Bagim Mitamri Havu. Over there, the owners of the fields would hide themselves away, because the owners of the fields wouldn't pay the taxes to the king. So there you deal with special rules. The king would say, whoever pays the taxes is the new owner of this land. So over there, it's not against the Dina de Malchus Adina. So you can't bring a raya from a case where the Dina de Malchus Adina is completely different. But in a typical case where the Dina de Malchus Adina is that the land only transfers with a shtar, so then the shtar is going to be what makes the land transfer. You don't say that the halacha is by a guy that it's kesef alone, that may be the halacha, but that is not the din of the malchusa, and we follow din of the malchusa when we're dealing with issues relating between a Jew and a non-Jew. It's only between Jew and a Jew that we have to follow the rules of the halacha. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.